I would say the key for maybe someone just starting out or even someone established is to find, I guess, your markets, find your areas, and just become an expert in them. Like my deals are both right now in Augusta, Georgia. I do want to expand into other areas, have lots of dreams about that. But I feel that I understand that market, that MSA very well. And so if you can dial in that way, I think it's a huge help.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Bernie Lund is an executive pastor at a Baptist church in San Diego, but he's also an active real estate investor. 2 years ago, he went from knowing nothing about real estate to closing his second apartment syndication just last month. Bernie, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Sam. Appreciate you having me on.
Hey, man. Pleasure's mine. Three questions I ask every guest who comes on the show in 90 seconds or less. Where did you start? Where are you now? How did you get there?
All right. 90 seconds or less. I started at zero, knowing nothing about real estate whatsoever. Was not in my family or anything, and just basically saw the need to improve in my family. And I found a buddy of mine who was doing some buy and holds and single family. I tried to follow him, didn't work, at least in his area, but we ended up going to Georgia and doing that. And then I got bit by the multifamily bug. So that's how I ended up in multifamily syndication. Where am I now? Well, we just closed our second apartment syndication, a little over 100 units under management. So not huge. We're obviously pretty new at this, but you know what? I feel like I've learned a ton. How'd I get here? Honestly, I'd have to say God is number one, but my wife has been an incredible support. And one of the big lessons I've learned in multifamily is that you just can't do this alone. It's not a lone man sport.
Right. Definitely a team sport. I like having guests on the show where this is the beginning of their journey, because when you get people, and they're very valuable, but when you get to the $1 billion under management mark, you tend to forget not just the early lessons, but the early grit and grind it took to get there. That's 7-8 years in the rear view. It's like, yeah, you know, it was hard out of the gate, but now we're 9-10 figure owners and it's a different animal. So tell me, you know, for you, what was the process like just from a scaling perspective? How did you get it done?
Well, I'd say the short answer is you just walk through the doors as they open. You just can't stop. And I believe that God opened those doors for me and my family for sure. But the early days, $100 difference in our monthly budget was immense. You know, it was crazy. Our very first deal, I remember $14,000 risk capital was like a make or break type of thing. And now we're a little bit past that. But the funny thing is, with every deal, you're stretching yourself a little more and it's like you're always back in the same place. But I would say the key is just consistency. Don't give up. Keep going forward. And that's what I tell other folks. Don't give up. You're going to get there. You just keep doing the right thing and doing what your mentors tell you to do and you'll make it.
Doing what your mentors tell you to do. Was that part of your success?
100%. I'm definitely a little bit of an arrogant guy. I struggle with that. I think a lot of people struggle with pride, but I found out along the way pretty early on and, you know, often in the time since that you can't know everything. This world, this business, this industry is just too big. There's too many ways to skin the cat. You need to lean on those who have gone before. And with my best mentors, I have learned to do what they say and I stay out of trouble.
Two things that are required in this business, and I say it over and over on this show, are deals and money. How have you found both of those? From what I hear, being a Baptist pastor is not exactly the 7-figure paycheck. So $100, if that's going to break the monthly budget, how did you fund the money side of things handled?
The long story short is I learned how to syndicate, put in a little plug for my mentor group, Michael Blanc, and my mentor, Drew Whitson. They basically taught me how to raise money and how to find capital in other places. So our first deal, honestly, we had basically zero of our own money in it. Started with friends and family, as so many people do. For our second deal, it really just kind of exploded. You know, I can talk more about that, but basically you do it right the first time and word begins to spread and you're able to grow and scale.
Right. That's really awesome. Did you raise all the money yourself or did you bring on a series of partners? How did that process work?
Partnering is a huge part of it. I tried to go it alone the first time. I really wanted to. It seemed like a very small goal, you know, only about $850,000. I thought I could do it. Well, I only got $250,000 raised. And so I ended up having to bring on some partners, but they are good dudes and they have saved my bacon quite a few times in decision making. And they helped me bring in the rest of the capital. And I partnered for my second deal as well. Kind of learned my lesson the first time, bring in the partners early, but I have enjoyed raising capital myself as well.
That's really an interesting part of this business. You know, I talk to people all the time who, again, they've got $1 billion in assets under management, and yet they'll still bring on other people to go either through, especially the fund of funds model, but to bring in outside capital into the deals because there's always a need for more investment capital. So that's really awesome. You went from the first deal being hard to the second deal. You said the floodgate kind of opened up. It was like, oh, hey, we're making larger leaps and bounds on the second deal. What changed?
I'd say a couple of things. One, I finally figured out my avatar is the word that's often used. It's funny, that's more of a Hindu term. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't want to use the word avatar, but in the industry, that's real common. You know, we all know what that means. It's basically finding the investor that is exactly like you, someone that you resonate with, someone that you really identify with. And I think for my second deal, I found my avatar. And the second piece of the puzzle is really finding an influencer that can be my champion. And I found a couple of those investors that really just believed so much in what I was doing for them and for others that they would just talk to other people left and right about what I was doing and tell them to call me and that I need to get a hold of these people. Those two aspects, really dialing in your avatar and then finding basically an influencer or a champion or two that can really go to bat for you when you're not around.
Did you have to pay that influencer? I mean, I know there's a lot of people out there that are making a lot of money for just putting social media posts out and saying, hey, you know, this is somebody you should go check out. It's kind of like affiliate marketing on steroids. But
right.
Is that the route you went, or was this just more organic networks that just said, hey, I want to support what it is that Bernie's doing?
Organic networks. I did not pay for them. They were basically just good friends that became investors. They just believed so much in the model and in me that they went out and they basically recruited for me.
That's really cool. Talk to me about how you refined your avatar. I've been through plenty of those exercises personally, and I always think it's an intriguing exercise, but especially when you're new, how did you figure out who that person is?
Great question. I don't want to say an accident, but you know, when I first started out, I was trying to dial in an avatar based on net worth or based on, you know, the location or where they were. And there's nothing wrong with that. People do it successfully all the time. But that's not the way my personality works. And I really found that I just identified with people in exactly my situation. Pastors, missionaries, full-time Christian workers, people that $100 a month in their budget really made a big difference. The desire to help folks just like me kind of became a huge part of why I do my investments more than just money, more than just expanding or scaling or even helping my family. I realized that here was a whole world in which I could tap into helping others that are just like me. That's how I basically found my avatar.
I love that. And I love the heart behind that. Probably not something that's taught in the mission field environment, you know, how to invest in real estate, how to create passive income. I mean, you know, it's not part of your curriculum. It's not part of anybody's curriculum, unfortunately, but especially in that environment. How have you found a creative way to engage that? But also, nobody goes into the mission field because of the lucrative returns, right? That being said, they're not going to be high net worth investors, I guess is the long way around the barn of saying this. How do you create opportunities for people that maybe aren't high net worth investors inside of commercial real estate?
Honestly, it involves a little bit of sacrifice on my part. And I have a pretty low entry at this point. My published minimum is 25,000 and I may increase that, but I don't see that going up very high just because psychologically that would eliminate a lot of the folks that I'm trying to help. And the sacrifice is basically, I've had several times people come to me saying, hey, I really want to be involved. Hey, I really have a family member. Would you accept 5,000? In the syndication world, that's very counterintuitive. You just say, oh, no, you know, just save up your money, you know, just wait. And I love so much. And I think that once people get a taste of it, just helping them develop an investor mindset, you know, someone can be very financially sound and not have an investor mindset. And getting them in this type of alternative investment, I think, opens doors for them. Honestly, it opens doors for me, even if the time horizon is a little bit longer. Because think about it, a $25,000 investor, if I do it right, they're going to be a $50,000 investor in 3 years or so. There'll be a $100,000 investor after that, just kind of marches on.
Yo, that's great. I love that. And you're absolutely right. You hit it on the head. It is a sacrifice. I mean, to take on $25,000 investors or $100,000 investors, that's 20 times the work. That's 20 more documents. That's 20 more people to communicate with, to answer questions. I mean, it's a heck of a lot of work. So, you know, kudos to you for taking that on. And if your investors aren't aware of the sacrifice that you're putting in to make sure that they can get involved, maybe there's a way to let them know that, hey, this is a labor of love for a lot of people. So that's really cool. I'm glad you're there certainly doing that. Talk to us about deals. I mean, deals are hard to come by. And right now, people are just fighting over anything. If it says multifamily, I feel like there's a bidding war on it. How are you finding deals?
Well, thankfully, I got into multifamily right in the middle of COVID when a lot of folks were backing away. And so I was able to get a foot in the door. But I would say the key for maybe someone just starting out or even someone established is to find, I guess, your markets, find your areas, and just become an expert in them. Like, my deals are both right now in Augusta, Georgia. I do want to expand into other areas, have lots of dreams about that. But I feel that I understand that market, that MSA, very well. And so if you can dial in that way, I think it's a huge help. And then a second aspect is property managers. Like, everyone talks about commercial brokers, and you do need to work with commercial brokers. But both of my deals, I actually found through my property manager, not through a commercial broker.
This was before you had a deal. So how did you have a property manager before you had a deal?
Hey, good question. So I guess it's a carryover from my single family days. We ended up buying 4 homes in that MSA, and I was really spinning my wheels. I was trying to work in like 3 different markets in multifamily. My wife and I just sat down one day, looked at one another and said, you know what? We're going for broke in the market we know best, which is where we have our single family homes. And we took about 3 months. And all of a sudden, boom, we had deal number one.
That's awesome. I love it. Bernie, thanks for taking the time to come on today and really share us your story of how you have figured out how to syndicate, how you figured out raising money, what it is you're doing really to give back to your community of people that need the investments that you're able to present. Then also how you're finding deals and money. That's really cool. I love your progress so far and can't wait to see here what the next few years hold for you. If our listeners want to get in touch with you or learn more about you, what is the best way to do that?
My new company is Forge Equity Group, and I have an email, bernie@forgeequitygroup.com. I do spell Bernie with a U, B-U-R-N-I-E.
That's Forge, F-O-R-G-E, equitygroup.com.
That's right.
Fantastic. And we'll also make sure that we put that information in the show notes. Bernie, thanks again. Have a great rest of your day.
You too, Sam. Appreciate you. Let me have the time on.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.